I found out this: Jesus lives 365 days a year for eternity. Amen. And so he is alive. And I want to read a few scriptures leading up to this, and I kind of go the way I feel like the Lord's directed me to minister this morning. And how many knows this is a rejoicing time? In Mark chapter 9, verse 30, and in the New King James Jr., I guess that's Jr., yeah. And then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want, this is talking about Jesus, he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. And run over to Mark 10, verse 32. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures before I start elaborating. Now, when they are on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, they were amazed as they followed. As they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Notice what he said. He began to tell them again. How many knows Jesus said things over and over? He didn't just tell them one time. I'll bet you if we had every time Jesus retold them something or put them in remembrance of it, we'd have a hard time reading all the book. Amen. And it goes, says, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. We don't know how many times just in this just couple of chapters he's done told them twice what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. Now we want to run all the way to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And starting with verse 1. Mark 16, 1. It says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You know, the thing about it is, when they went to that tomb to anoint him, they guess what day they went on? Must have been the third day, right? And so they went to anoint him, so you can kind of look at it like this. They really didn't believe what he said. They really didn't believe it, or they wouldn't have showed up. They just wanted to meet him somewhere instead of going to anoint his body with the spices and such as that. So they went to the tomb, and actually the scriptures tell us that none of them believed him. None of them. None of the disciples. Nobody had told. They believed he was raised from the dead. And you know, the thing about it is, what makes what we believe and what other religions believe, you know the difference in it? Is our Lord is alive. Our King is alive. Our Savior is alive. I mean, He lives today. Amen? And so we know that because He's changed our lives. I want to talk about a subject this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me see where I want to start this at. Let's run, Junior, all the way to 14. It would be a lot better if I'd get to that chapter. See, what Jesus did was this. Jesus, the Bible said, did this. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. He tasted death for every man. Jesus entered the death experience and conquered it. I said he entered the death experience and he conquered it. He tasted death for every man. I know death is something that nobody talks about or they don't like to think about, but although many times we do think about it, right? Am I right? But I want you to be encouraged this morning because He lives, we live. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to the angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham, which we are part of that." And so He said, listen, He said, "I came to literally go through the death experience so I could deliver men and women who all their lifetime was fearful of death." See, there's a certain fear that goes along with death in many people's lives. I know I went through that when I was a younger and you know, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know anything about God. And I thought about that, things like that. I don't know if you have or not, but I did. Working offshore. When I worked offshore, we'd get in them helicopters and we'd fly to Louisiana and we'd go out in the, over the Gulf and such as that. And my mind would think, if this thing crashes, I die. I don't know. You may not be thought like that, but I did. And there was a fear of getting on them helicopters. There was a fear of going, doing certain things because not the fear of doing those things, but the fear of dying if something happened. And the Bible says Jesus went through the death experience to give us a freedom from the fear of death. And listen to me, Jesus tasted death for every single one of us. In fact, if we will look at the Word of God and read the Scriptures, Jesus, because of what He did, because His dying, but if He had just died and just stayed in the tomb, then the gospel would have meant nothing. But the thing about it is, He rose again, and because He rose again, He gave new life to everyone who would believe and accept Him as their Savior and their Lord. So He said, "I want to deliver all those who all their lifetime was fearful of death." There's a lot of people just afraid to get old. Am I right? Did you know you're a little older today than you were yesterday? And you couldn't stop it. Huh? My son said something, one of the little kids was sitting there, we're sitting there, and Randy said something, my son sitting there said, told that little boy, "Well, after all, he's an old man." He's talking about me, Randy said that, of course he's cutting up. I looked at that little boy and said, "Do I look old?" He went. Huh? The thing about it is, if we're not careful, we'll start letting things consume our minds and our thoughts, when if we just get a hold of the fact that we have the same resurrection power and life on the inside of us that Jesus rose from the grave with, then bless God, and listen, did you realize Jesus said this when Mary and Martha, when Lazarus had died, He said, listen, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He that believes in me shall never die." And He said, "Do you believe this?" He said, "No, how does that make any sense? He that believeth in me shall never die. I'm the resurrection." How does that happen? Why? Because when you get Jesus inside of you, you get life on the inside of you. You have eternal life on the inside of you. And He's not talking about a physical death. In other words, our body dying. He's talking about our spirit man being alive for eternity. And it's kind of like when you, listen, they ain't none of you in your house this morning. Are you? Well, you are in this house this morning, this house. There will be a day, the Bible teaches us, that we will get out of this house, this body. This body will be laid to rest. And all of a sudden, our spirit will be with Jesus to ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says, which is far better, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He wants to get us placed. Listen, Jesus, I was thinking about this. Jesus did not come to prepare us for death. He came to prepare us for living in life. You got to hear that. You know, I'm ready to die now, honey. No, you need to get ready to live. You need to get ready to excel in life. You need to get ready to succeed in life. You need to get ready to have the power of God manifested in your life and the glory of God rising upon you. You need to get ready to have the best life ever. Praise God. You're not washed up. You're not done. It's not over. Y'all don't jump over that balcony this morning. Y'all say, hang on up there. I'm telling you. Man, you as a Christian, you ought not be moping. You not be, no, but that's not all, folks. We ought not be moping around. Come on, I think Christians ought to have a strut to them. Huh? You ever seen the little bandy roosters? They got a little strut to them. They walk around like I'm the king of the herd here. Chicken house. Look, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, God don't want you living in fear of death. He conquered it for us. Glory to God. Did He not? Thank you, Jesus. 15. Let's start with verse 12. And Junior, throw that over in the New Living Translation. You may not have that in your Bible, but he'll put it on the wall. Paul writing to Corinthians, he said, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And we apostles would be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all you have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised, the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back. After that, the end will come. Then we will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until He humbles all His enemies beneath His feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Isn't it amazing the Bible calls death an enemy? God is no partner with death. God don't like death. Death was not a part of His plan for man. It came in when Adam fell, when Adam messed up, and all humanity went through the death experience or the separation from God. When Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden, guess what happened? They were separated from God. Physically, they lived 900 and something years later. But the Bible told them, as soon as you eat that fruit, you're going to die. And one translation says, the second you eat it, you're going to die. Well, the second they ate it, they died. They were separated from God. But guess, Jesus came to give us back the life that they had in the garden. See, we have an eternal life, and we live forever. But the thing about it is, we're not going to live in this body forever. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. Aren't you? I think I'm going to be a little better when I get my glorified body. How about you? And so, you know, when we look at it, the Bible says, listen, if there wasn't a resurrection, we are literally preaching a bunch of falsehood, and there's no power to it, there's no life to it, and there's nothing that's going to change our life in it. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. It's kind of like this guy was over in some other country somewhere, and he was in a store somewhere, and somebody was in some other religious person was in there talking about how beautiful his God's grave was and how the flowers was pretty and all such as that. And all of a sudden, he spoke up and said, listen, he said, you know what's so pretty about my God's tomb, my Lord's tomb? You know what's so beautiful about it? He said, it's empty. It's empty. He's alive. He's risen. Listen, He does not live in temples made with hands, but He lives in these temples. These temples. So God wanted to deliver us from all our lives being fearful of death. Because let me just tell you this right now. I'm not here to prepare you for dying. I'm here to prepare you for living. But I do want you to know this. Death will knock on every door. Did you know that? If Jesus tarries, every door. Not to be afraid of it, but at the same time, you might as well go ahead and plan to live until that day comes. And there ain't no sense in you planning on which day it's going to be. Thank you for your enthusiasm in this Holy Ghost church this morning. Huh? Man, you all never get up and say, well, I don't know when my life's going to end. Why don't you just get up in the morning and say, this is when my life begins, and I'm going to have the best day of my life in the name of Jesus, for this is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in the name of Jesus. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Listen, I have the life of God on the inside of me. I shall live and not die and declare the glories of God. And you need to get an eternal mindset on the inside of you, that you are not a temporary being. You are an eternal being. You will live forever and ever. Ever and ever. Just like the song Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've just begun. Glory to God. How long we've been here? You've been here 10,000 years. Well, it seems like it's just been a couple of minutes, a couple of days. Why? Compared to a billion years and a trillion years. And for listen, does this blow our minds sometimes when we think, my God, I'm going to live for a trillion years? No, you're not going to live for a trillion years. You're going to live past that. What is eternity? Forever. Forever. People say, well, when you meet Jesus, you have eternal life. Yes, you do. But you're an eternal being before you meet Jesus. See, Jesus knew this. God knew this. He said, listen, I'm coming because you're going to live forever. You get to just choose where you get to live. You get just get to make choice what place you spend eternity at. Right? You said, well, you ain't going to talk about hell, are you? No. I'll just mention it. Come on now, this is Resurrection Day. Preach good. I am. Man, we have life. We're alive. What would happen if we went and looked in the mirror some more and said, I'm alive. Glory to God. It'd shake your husband up, your wife up, your kids up, everybody. If you just start looking, instead of looking in that mirror saying, what am I going to do with this today? You've heard people say, well, it is what it is. Huh? Well, what is can be changed. Because I can tell you right now, everybody in here, I'm looking around. Don't know some of you. Know some of you well. You did not look like this when you got up this morning. You worked on yourself. Am I right? You worked on yourself until you felt like you was presentable to see the world. And then you came to church. I'm telling you something. God is working on you every day of your life when you let Him. You know what He's doing? Making you presentable to the world, to represent His kingdom, to represent His life, to represent Him as an ambassador of Christ to the world. Amen? I don't know if you know it or not, but you look good in Jesus. You can look in the mirror in the morning and say, you look good in Jesus. You look fine in Jesus. We're going to discord what I look like in the mirror. I'm talking about Jesus. We're looking beyond this mirror thing. Huh? There's something about us that if we're not careful, we look in mirrors. Anybody ever walk through the mall and see a mirror? You got to take a glance at yourself. Some people are more vain than others. Some people will go through the you ever notice they'll be looking in the mirror, looking, and they'll be going like that, and they'll look around anybody around you, and then, look around. Huh? Looking in the mirror? Why? Here's what they're thinking. I look good. Did you know the Bible tells us that the Word of God is a mirror? That when you're reading the Word of God and you're reading about who you are in Christ, what God, you're literally looking in a mirror and that Word is reflecting what you look like to God. What you look like to God. You look good in Christ. Amen? And so it makes a whole big difference in your life. And so he said, listen, Jesus went through the death experience. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Death, hell, and the grave. He conquered it. You know who he did it for? Us. Let's run down here to in the same chapter, but let's run down here, Junior, let's run, I'm going to skip a little bit, all the way down to verse 53. He says, "For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory." It says, "O death, where's your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is a sting that results in death, and the law gives sins to its power. Thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, death is just a passageway into the kingdom of heaven for people who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. It goes, what did it say? It says, where was I? Oh, death, where's your sting? I was reading that in the wrong translation. I want to read it over here. In verse 55, it says this. In the New King James Version, it says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" O grave. He's talking about a hell being that grave, that word grave, hell. Hell, where's your victory? Listen, there's no reason why hell should get any of us. Is that right? Because when we believe in Jesus Christ, he makes a whole, brings us into a whole new life. I want you to read it and open your Bibles over here, Philippians chapter 3. Thank God, I'm telling you, we're not ready to kick the bucket, but I tell you what, we're going to live a life free from the fear of it. Amen. I remember an elder that years ago in a church I went to, and Welton Henderson was his name, and many of you know who he was because you went to church with him. And when I first got saved, and back March 5th, 1978, when I gave my heart to Jesus, we was hooked up with them, and he was an influence in our lives. And so, of course, he baptized me, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost in their home. But he was in bad physical shape, and he was in the hospital one time, so we went and visited him. They didn't give him a whole lot of hope. And he said this to us. He said, "Whether I die or whether I live," he said, "I'm still going home. Either way, I'm going home." Now, if he went home to the natural house, he would went there, but he died and he went to his heavenly home. He looked at it like this. There was not a fear in his voice or his life. You know why? Because he knew where he was about to enter. Hallelujah. How many believes heaven's real? You know, sometimes we think, "Well, I don't be fear." Well, don't fear it. Just get up and believe you're going to live, because you ain't being prepared to die. We're preparing you to live. Now, you need to be prepared. Let me put this in a good way you can understand it. You need to be prepared with Christ. You need to be ready if something happens. But praise God, you don't need to be preparing your death, if that makes any sense to you. Paul said this. I love the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had an experience with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. Got very close to him. Fellowship with him. In verse 7, it says this in Philippians 3:7 in the King James Version, New King James Version. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." And if you'll read the following verses above that, he told all that he was a Pharisee, all the things he was born, all the things he accomplished in his life. He put it before that, and he said, "Listen, everything I accomplished in the natural means nothing without Jesus. It means nothing without Jesus. It's just a bunch of rubbish." And he says, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He knew this. Listen, he said concerning the law, he was blameless. He followed the law to the letter. And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he called himself. And he said to the law, I followed it to the T. And he said, listen, I had a self-righteousness about me, but it meant nothing until I got the righteousness of God on the inside of me. And that's what made a difference in my life. I tell you what happens. You know, when God comes into your life, it changes you. Come on, let's just be real. He changes us. Man, he'll take hate out and fill it with love. Amen? To be able to walk and live in love and to love people and do such as that. I was listening to Pastor Sam Carr. In fact, he's going to be with us next Sunday. Pastor Sam Carr, he went to where did he went to one of these Middle Eastern countries the other day. And where, you know, Syria, I don't know if Syria is one of these countries he went to. He named the city. And anyway, they went in and started ministering to these people there. And they was in a safe haven because I think a certain part where they was, it's the Christians, it's not a full Muslims. And he had all these people sitting in there and talking to them and had got born again, got saved, gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. And he was talking to these ladies, and through an interpreter he said, and he was talking to these ladies and said, what did Christ do for you? What did Jesus do in your life? And one of the ladies told him this through an interpreter. She said, he's caused me to love people. She said, I knew no love for people. I didn't love people. She said, I hated people. She said, in fact, she pointed at somebody that was sitting there with her, and she said, I hated her, and now I love her. And the other lady said, and I hated you too. And now I love you. It's amazing how Christ makes the difference in our lives. And totally, when we are born again, literally brings a newness and a freshness in our lives and gives us hope for living again and an expectation of life again. And so Paul said it was a bunch of rubbish. Everything I accomplished without Christ is a bunch of rubbish. One translation is just dung. He said that I love this right here, that I may know him, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul, he said, I just want to get to know him. Isn't that amazing? He said, I want to get to know him, but I don't just want to know him. I want to know about the power of the resurrection life, what raised him from the dead, what was working on the inside of him. I want to know that about Christ, and we want to know that also about that resurrection power. Listen, you have that same resurrection, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, lives in you and gives life to your mortal body. That same power that raised him up, that same, he said, the power of the resurrection is in you. And it gives life to your mortal, your short-lived bodies, which is these things right here. Paul said, I want to know him. And I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. It's amazing. Paul says, I want to know everything about him. I want to know how he suffered for me. I want to know what he went through for me. I want to know everything about Jesus Christ and how the impact he's made upon my life. Listen to me. We're not going to have to suffer like Jesus suffered. We don't have to go through what he went through. The Bible says everything he went through for us. The Bible says he took our sins. It was our sins. He was a sinless Lamb of God. He never made a mistake. He never blew it. He never lied. He never stole. He never cheated. He never did anything wrong. But we did. And the Bible says he hung on that tree taking our sins. And that's the only, did you know the only way Jesus could have died is if our sins was put on him? He couldn't have died any other way. They couldn't have killed him any other way. Because he was life. He was life. And he died so we could have life. But if he'd have just died and stayed dead, he'd been nothing more than a martyr. nothing would have changed. Just like Paul was talking about, if there was no resurrection, nothing would ever change in any of our lives. But there is a resurrection. And then he's actually telling us, you're going to be resurrected too one day. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about how the dead in Christ will be raised one day when Jesus comes back. You know, I've often wondered how. Have you ever sit around and thought, how's God going to pull this off? Anybody ever thought, how's God going to, how's He going to do it? Have your little old peanut brains, our little old mind sitting there trying to figure out how the omnipotent God is going to do this? Because, man, He does things that, wow, how did you do that? But the Bible tells us that there's going to be a day when our bodies are going to be changed. Isn't that what we read? Our bodies are going to be changed. We've got to put it on immortality. Well, listen to me. We know that when a person dies, when they breathe their last here, then they breathe their, if they know Jesus Christ, they breathe their next in heaven, but yet their bodies are left. You try to explain that to a little kid. Anybody ever tried to explain that to a little kid? I know when my dad passed away and he was in the casket and my son told my grandson, my oldest grandson, which was pretty small at that time, he told him, he said, Papa has went to heaven. He's not here. He goes into the funeral, he grabs Randy by the deal and said, is this heaven? Because he sees his body. I mean, there he is, and you said he's in heaven, and he was probably thinking, if this is heaven, we're disappointed. Huh? But his house was left. His tent was left. But the Bible says that there's going to be a day when Jesus is going to come in the eastern sky and there's going to be a sound of a trumpet. Huh? I'm going to go to it. I feel like I'm in a good mood this morning. I'm going to go to it. In verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul writing, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You know, I like the way God talks. How many just likes the way God talks? He calls them falling asleep. You know, you can wake somebody up if they're asleep, right? He said, that you sorrow as those who have no hope. Listen to me, as Christians, we have all the hope we need. We have all the hope in God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. If anybody knows where we live at Old Union. We live right across the street from Cox Cemetery. And, you know, my grandmother and them live there and such as that. And I think when we first told Linda we're going to put our house right across the street from there, I think she was kind of across from a cemetery. I said, yeah. You know, what a day. Anyway, let's read this and I'll finish that story. He says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are falling asleep. How many believes? Listen, we're a church that believes in the rapture of the church. We believe in the rapture. We believe Jesus is coming back. And listen, the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. People need to understand that. Most people don't understand that. But the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. It's when Jesus comes back with His saints as the second coming of Christ, when He comes plants His feet on the Mount of Olives. Here's the thing about this is, Jesus is come in the clouds, the Bible says, and there's going to be let me read it. There's going to be people who are alive and remain at that happening. And I believe I'm one of them. Can I have any amens out there in the audience? And don't go, I hope so. Well, praise God. Well, I hope you hope so, because that's great expectation. I'm going to live like I'm going to be one.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm going to believe I'm going to be above ground when He shows up. But notice what it says, it's all good news. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive remain until the coming Lord, but by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. See, there's a benefit to living across from a cemetery. I told Linda, wouldn't it be a wonderful day if we were sitting out on the front porch on our rocking chair sipping coffee, and all of a sudden we hear a shout and a trumpet, and all of a sudden our grandmas and grandpas and all are being blown out of the ground, just coming up out of the tomb. We say, oh, hallelujah, we're next. You said, Pastor, why in the world would he cause the dead in Christ to rise first? Because they have a little further to go. But think about it. Some of them have been in there, it seemed like 100 years. I wonder what their bodies are like. I wonder what their bones are like. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You reckon they're full of ashes in the, or dust in those caskets? And God is going to send their spirit back, and they're going to be hooked back up with their bodies, and God's going to pull it all together and put them into immortality and bring them out of the grave, and they're going to meet Jesus in the air. Now, they're with Jesus right now, but God says, I'm going to bring your body back and I'm going to change it. It's not going to be like what went in that casket. It's going to be a whole new being. It's going to be a whole new body. It's going to be a glorified body, and we're going to all meet together and have a reunion in heaven. Glory to God. So if I just see one of them tombstones shaking, I'm a holler, Linda, get ready, baby. We're going to go. When we were kids, we used to think that place was haunted. And we'd go play. Isn't it crazy? We'd go out in the cemetery at night because we thought it was haunted. And just get this life scared out of us. Run back home. In fact, every now and then I'll look out there and look, seems like there's a light on out there.
There is.
Is it?
It's one of the summer
lights. Okay. I thought they were getting ready. Turn the light on, Jesus is coming. Now, who wants to put a light in a graveyard anyway? No, don't get mad at me if y'all have done it. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. I guess they think I'm going to walk out there and get me a light. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, life is good. And Jesus went through the death experience so you could go through his life experience. God wants you to live. He wants you to have life. He wants you to enjoy being on planet Earth. God created the earth for us. So when we talk about the resurrection, we also need to talk about our resurrection and the resurrection power that lives on the inside of us. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And they that believe in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this? I'm telling you, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. So many times we're living in a world that they say, there's many ways to heaven. Let me tell you something. In my Bible, there says there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way. He said it in John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He said it again over in Acts chapter 4, where it says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. He said, if you try to get in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. You can't get in any other way. You said, people can say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you know, one day you will. All I can say is one day you will. You say, how do you know? Philippians chapter 2 says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Both in the earth, under the earth, and in the heavens above. Every knee will bow to that name, Jesus Christ. There's life in God. Now, there's a lot of you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've asked Jesus into your life. Now, listen, your life ought not be miserable. It ought to be a blessed life, a good life. Amen? You know, I'm not saying you don't have trial. In fact, Jesus himself said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, there's going to be tough times on the planet. There's going to be hard times. We've been through them. You've been through them. But praise God, when you go through the fire, when you go through the raging seas, when you go through the rivers, it shall not overtake you, overcome you, or burn you up. God wants you to know that I'm for you and not against you. I want you to live. In fact, he said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you may have life and have it in abundance. The Living Bible, the Amplified Bible says, till the full, till it overflows. God wants you to have an overflowing life in you. There's no sense in living miserable. You might as well get up in the morning and say, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. I do that many, many mornings, not every morning, but I do that many mornings. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'll say, this is the best day of my life right here. This is the best day of my life. Praise God. You need to make choices and decisions that every day is going to be the best day of your life. You said, what if something happens, Pastor? It don't matter. You're still going to be more than a conqueror in it. You're still going to overcome it. You're still going to make it through it if you'll stick with God and hang on to Jesus. Amen? Hang on to Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we love you so much, and we thank you today for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for that same resurrection life, that same life. In fact, you said that we are to have our eyes open to that in Ephesians chapter 1 in the prayer of the power that raised Jesus from the dead that's working in us and through us. So God, I thank you for that resurrection power that's alive in this house today. God, moving and ministering to every man, woman, boy, and girl. God, you don't want anyone to perish. In fact, you said that's the reason you have slowed your return down. It's because you didn't want any should perish, but all come to repentance. You're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. God, you call your people precious fruit. You call your creation precious fruit. And you want them all to meet you and come to know you. And God, that's my prayer for every person in this house today. God, that they'll come to know you. That they'll meet you as their Savior and their Lord if they don't know you. And God, if they do know you, that they'll draw closer to you. And they'll not live in fear of death. They'll not live in fear of dying prematurely. But they'll just live every day and serve you every day. And you'll add years to their life and life to the years. Because you told us in Psalms 91 that with long life you'd satisfy us and show unto us your salvation if we'd just abide under the shadow and the shelter of the Almighty. Oh, we love you and we praise you today.